You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. In Jackson County, the familiar presence of summer mosquitoes has taken on a more serious tone this year. Recent testing has confirmed the reappearance of West Nile virus in local mosquito pools, and for a second year in a row, an invasive day-biting species originally from North Africa has been detected in our neighborhoods. Joining me to discuss this emerging threat is Andrew Parton. Andrew is a certified public health entomologist with the Jackson County Vector Control District. He oversees the district's mosquito and tick surveillance programs. Welcome back to the Exchange, Andrew.
Thanks for having me. Great to be back.
Well, you were here a year ago talking to me about this same problem. What's going on?
Well, you know, what we'd like people to know this time around is that we have had our first West Nile positive mosquito pool for the year. And this came from mosquitoes that were collected last week in Eagle Point. It's important to point out that we have detected this mosquito-borne disease each year in Jackson County since 2004. So I want to reiterate that it's not a cause for panic, but this is a signal to us that West Nile virus is out there circulating in the environment, and this is a great time of year to remind people to just take simple, basic precautions to avoid being bitten by mosquitoes.
Okay, now you said this time it's located in Eagle Point. That's where it's been detected. Where was it last year?
So I believe last year the detection was in Central Point. But, you know, each year we'll get anywhere typically from, you know, 5 to 10 West Nile positive mosquito pools. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit earlier in the summer than we would typically be detecting this particular disease. But it's not altogether unusual or out of the ordinary.
Okay, so how does your team go about identifying these areas?
So we run about 50 mosquito traps all around the county each week from May through the end of September. We run those traps each week, bring back all the mosquitoes to the laboratory, count them, sort them by species. But what we do is we pull out two particular mosquito species that we're interested in testing for disease. And those are two of our mosquito species from the Culex genus. And this, in our area, is the primary vector of West Nile virus because they readily bite both birds and mammals. And birds, wild birds, are actually the natural reservoir out there in nature for this particular virus.
Well, when you talk about trapping all of these mosquitoes and having to count them, I find it hard to imagine how that's being done. I mean, are you counting these things by hand, or is there some sort of mechanism by which to do this?
We count them by hand. And, you know, to be honest, like I said, our entire surveillance and laboratory staff is myself, and it is one other person who helps me in the summer. And we cover the entire county. But, you know, now you also mentioned the invasive Aedes aegypti mosquito, you know, that we've detected here in 2024 and 2025 in Jackson County. And conducting surveillance for that particular species, it is a whole other program in and of itself. So we can get stretched pretty thin with the current staffing level that we have.
So when you collect from these traps, how many mosquitoes are you counting on average?
It varies. You know, some of these traps, you know, show a lot of seasonal fluctuations. But, you know, sometimes a trap may have 5 or 10 mosquitoes. We had one trap this summer at the Expo, just on the other side of Bear Creek at the Jackson County Expo, that had nearly 2,500 mosquitoes. So that's an extreme example. But I would say on average, 75 to 100 mosquitoes is probably, the average number we'd see in any given trap.
Okay, and how often are you counting these traps?
So again, like I said, we run these traps every year, May through the end of September, and each trap location gets set and picked up once per week.
That's a lot of mosquitoes.
It's a lot of mosquitoes, and typically, we will test anywhere between 10 and 15,000 mosquitoes, for several mosquito-borne diseases, actually. But again, that's just our two mosquito species from the Culex genus. That's not all of the mosquitoes that we're collecting.
Okay, so for people who aren't familiar with this virus, tell me about it.
Okay, so West Nile virus, it was first detected in New York City, actually, in 1999. It was first isolated from a patient in Uganda in the 1930s, but by 1999, it had made it to New York City, and we were detecting it here in Jackson County by 2004. But the virus is primarily maintained between wild birds and mosquitoes. So we know that there's a very wide variety of bird species that can become infected with this particular virus. But we also know that certain species, such as corvids, like crows and jays, are particularly susceptible. So they tend to build up really large amounts of virus in their bodies, and then they can in turn infect mosquitoes that feed on them. And again, I mentioned those Culex mosquitoes. They are, what's known as a bridge vector because they readily feed on both birds and mammals. So when a Culex mosquito goes and bites an infected bird, it can pick up West Nile virus. And if it bites a human, it can then transmit that virus to that person.
You have a whole disease ecosystem.
We see it in ticks, we see it in mosquitoes, but these vector-borne diseases always have very complicated ecologies and epidemiologies, and it's often very nuanced and contextual.
Okay, so what is a person, what are the symptoms in a person if they are infected?
Well, so the good news is the chances of becoming seriously ill from West Nile virus are very low. So in the vast majority of cases, about 80%, people will be asymptomatic. So they won't even know that they've been infected with it. For the other 20% or so of people who do end up getting sick and develop, clinical signs and symptoms of the disease, it'll often manifest itself in, moderate flu-like symptoms. However, the issue is that in a very small percentage of cases, less than 5%, West Nile virus can become neuroinvasive, and it can cause some extremely serious and life-threatening conditions, such as encephalitis, meningitis, as well as permanent muscle paralysis. So again, the chances of becoming sick to that level with this particular disease is very low, but we also know that the risk isn't zero. So our staff is out there working super hard all spring, all summer, to try to minimize the chances that anybody gets sick from this and keep that chance as low as possible.
Well, how do we protect ourselves?
So we would certainly encourage people to continue doing the things that they're hopefully already doing to avoid being bitten by mosquitoes and also to prevent mosquitoes from reproducing around their homes. So again, look for and dump and drain any standing water around your home or property. You can use repellents. You can cover up with long sleeves, pants. You can also try to avoid or minimize outdoor activity at dawn and dusk when mosquitoes tend to be most active. And, certainly if you're having issues with mosquitoes, you can always contact us at the district office, and, we can send a technician out to try to address that issue for you.
Well, you said dawn and dusk, but these are day-biting mosquitoes, right?
So that's the Aedes aegypti. So mm-hmm. It is the invasive Aedes aegypti mosquito that primarily bites during the day. These Culex mosquitoes prefer to bite in the evening, actually. So fortunately, that's another reason, why that kind of minimizes that risk is because typically, not always, but typically, these mosquitoes tend to be less active, during the hours when people tend to spend the most time outdoors.
Now, I've heard these invasive mosquitoes can breed in as little as a bottle cap's worth of water.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's correct. Like I said, the invasive Aedes aegypti mosquito really does not need much water at all. And like I said, they like to, reproduce in any small artificial water container, that's holding water around your home. And, you know, one of these Q-like species that we are concerned about as far as West Nile virus transmission, you know, is also pretty good at using those same habitats. So, you know, it's another reason to, you know, check around your home, check around your property, and just dump the standing water.
Okay, from your words right to my ears.
No water, no mosquitoes.
Okay, mm-hmm. I got it. Now, voters are being asked to approve a 5-year tax levy this November. Mm-hmm. And if approved, the levy would increase the rate from 4 cents to 9 cents per $1,000 of assessed property value. And I understand that those funds are going to help the work that you do. Can you tell me how that would help?
Yes. I mean, there's lots of ways that our district is hoping to use those increased funds to enhance and increase our services to Jackson County residents. But speaking, you know, strictly from the surveillance side, what we would really love to do is be able to hire another employee to work in our laboratory full time. So that would give us the ability to set more traps in more locations throughout the county. That would better inform our control operations, and it would ultimately allow us to collect more mosquitoes and test them for these diseases faster. And you know, as I mentioned, like I said, now with the addition of that invasive Aedes aegypti mosquito, that's really increased our workload. And it's just myself and one other person in the summer, you know, trying to do all this surveillance and all this PCR disease testing, you know, for the entire county.
So you're going to need some help counting mosquitoes.
That is, it sounds simple, but that's what we need.
Yeah. Well, you're also asking residents to report mosquitoes with specific white markings. Tell me about that.
So that's so the day-biting invasive Aedes aegypti mosquito is a very brightly colored, highly contrasting black and white mosquito. So we do encourage people, you know, if you're out around your home and, you know, you are, you know, being bitten during the day or in the early evening, you know, by a very small mosquito that is very brightly black and white colored, you know, to please, you know, report that, you know, call our district office, let us know. And in terms of West Nile virus, if you're noticing dead birds around your property, so many birds become seriously ill with West Nile virus, and it's fatal for a lot of bird species. So we also encourage you to call and report dead birds. We have the ability to PCR test dead birds as well for West Nile virus. The caveat is that they have to be very fresh. Once that bird dies, the RNA virus that West Nile is made up of degrades very quickly. But you know, if you find a single dead bird on your property, it's likely not an indication of anything unusual. But if you're noticing multiple dead birds over, you know, a day or two span, you know, please let us know, because that you know, could be an indication of something like West Nile virus.
And so what's the best way for the public to communicate with your office?
The best way is to call us directly at our district office, or visit our website at www.jcvcd.gov, and you can send us an email. And we also have, if you go to the home menu there, we also have an entire section dedicated to information pertaining to the option levy as well.
Okay,
if people are interested in hearing more about that.
jcvcd.gov.
.gov, yes, for Jackson County Vector Control District.
Okay. What are water dunks?
So water dunks are a product that you can buy typically Home Depot, Grange, Coastal, those type of farm supply stores. They contain an active ingredient called BTI, Bacillus thuringiensis israelianus. It's a type of bacteria that is specific to mosquito and black fly larvae. So you can put that in garden ponds, watering troughs, you know, stock tanks, things like that. And it releases little spores of this particular species of bacteria. And when mosquito larvae eat, they feed on those little spores, and it basically disrupts their midgut and ultimately will kill the larvae and prevent them from becoming adult mosquitoes.
Okay, so water dunks help get rid of some of the mosquitoes.
Absolutely.
All right, so final question as we move to the tail end of the summer. What's the most important thing that Jackson County residents can do today to protect their families?
Use repellents, cover up, just be aware if you're out at dawn and dusk, if you're experiencing mosquitoes. And again, if you're having issues with mosquitoes, let us know and we can help address that for you.
We'll leave it there. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.